No, really. What are friends for? Friends are for growing old together. Aww. I'm Pallavi Sastry.
And I'm Gabrielle Ruiz, Pallavi's still young best friend.
Come on. That was spontaneous. I just came up with that.
Oh, there. It's so basic, yet true. Like, hopefully you do grow old together. Because some friendships die. Are we going to talk about that? No.
Anyway, give me your flex for this week. What was the friendship?
Hey, friends, go on and flex.
Well, I rekindled a friendship, not even a friendship, an acquaintance from New York, from our New York City days. She's now a new mom recently, like I would say like 3 weeks. I would like to think out of the pandemic, but not. We're not. We're in it still, and it's just different. And so there is a lot of, I get to finally, because with you and me as friends, when it came to parenting, I couldn't ask you what did you do during the pandemic as a new parent? So we, like the first, you know, wave, I think I was like the second year of the pandemic with parenting. So I get to pass that down and that kind of like niche anxiety with new parenting to this person. And she and I text often. It meant so much to me when new friends and old friends would text me, how are you feeling, without a question mark. One friend did that, Cynthia, when I gave birth to Mercedes. And I just needed that text. I looked forward to it. I felt taken care of, even if I didn't answer it. You know what I mean? So I'm passing that down to this next new friend. So I would say that's a friend flex.
For you.
Oh my gosh, thanks.
So my question to you on that is like, and this is something we like to flex about too, is like, who reached out to who?
Well, our very good friend, Hare Kameh, brought her over when she came and visited when she was in town. And she was like, can I bring her with me when we have our little mini reunion? That it just was a re-meet cute.
Yeah. My flex is I'm in New York, working right now as we know. And, I actually reached out to one of my husband's best friends who I've known him, like they like grew up together, like elementary school friends. And like, I feel like, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but like, it's not that I don't get along with my husband's friends, but I don't think about like calling them as my friend all that often. And so like this was like, you know, not that it was difficult for me to wrap my brain around doing that, but I just went ahead and did. I was like, oh yeah, I should call Mike. And so I called Mike and we went to dinner, and like, it was, I can honestly say in 15 years of knowing him is the first time he and I've like spent that much time one-on-one together. And it was really lovely. Like, I didn't feel like pressure to talk to him. Like, I think that's where I felt a little nervousness is like, I don't know if maybe I'll run out of things to ask Mike, you know, cause I feel like I get all the updates from my husband, but this was like our chance to like establish, are you and I friends? And not that I didn't think that, it's just, it was different. I think we crossed into another level of friendship, which was really nice.
I love that for you. Were your jokes as fast and funny as Hari, your husband?
You know, what's funny is like, Mike is like kind of like the polar opposite in terms of like his demeanor of my husband. And as you know, you were very competitive with my husband and his quick wit.
His fast jokes. I was very jealous. I've already said it in seasons past.
Yeah. But like, Mike will pick and choose when his zingers happen, and like, you know, when his zingers happen, you're like, oh yes, I forgot that you're my husband's friend. But it was really nice. And so mine is very like, it was a very heartwarming, I would say, flex.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, well, we do counter with what was fucked up. Ready? I can't afford a deep clean in my house right now, and it's showing. Like, Mercedes' feet in midday are black, her little bare feet. Mm-hmm. And so every time I do a diaper change, I just wipe her feet. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever. And it's like, because we just moved and we put the, you know, all the deposits down. We finally got a renter in the condo. And like, you know, friendships and finances, I'm very open with saying like, we're tight right now. And I can't spend that money on this house to deep clean it. And it's just so gross in here. It's so gross. It's fucked up gross.
Yeah. I don't know if this is necessarily fucked up, but like, I have, and this is just more boundaries, I guess, is like, you know, I guess many years of decades of being a people pleaser, I'm finally at the point where I'm just like, I don't want to call that person, even though I'm here.
Oh, in New York, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
All right. So here today with us, we have a comedian, writer, drag queen, Sadie Pines, a.k.a. H. Allen Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And joining him is his Out on the Lanai co-host, TV writer, and new mom, Carrie Doherty. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Your podcast is so famous and lovely. We love your podcast. Thank you for coming on WAF.
Thank you. Likewise.
I love you guys' podcast. It's so fun. I love talking about friends and friendship is like, I think one of the things that we don't talk about, we talk about love and like sex and all the things a lot, but we don't talk about friendships a lot. And I think we should talk about friendships more because they're like the cornerstone of our lives in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And like the, you know, and you all have made a whole plethora of content out of, you know, a specific topic, but like that is kind of the touchstone of that topic mm-hmm. as well, right? It's like, you know, and we talked about growing old together and like, you know, one of the things that we love to talk about in terms of the richness of the friendship of, or topic of friendship is that it's more often than not like the longest relationship you will have in your life, right? Which is such a testament to Golden Girls, and they talk about that, don't they?
Do you know the in the scan of the seasons of Golden Girls, here's some fun trivia questions for you.
Yeah.
Who has, besides Dorothy and Sophia, since they are related, because to what we are realizing, the newer, you know, followers and like Ben, Sophia really isn't their friend. She's Dorothy's, or is she a part of the friend quattro?
I feel like a great thing about the Golden Girls is, and I think we'll maybe even talk about this Golden Girls episode with you today, is the idea of the found family, of the chosen family. So even though Sophia, yes, is blood related to Dorothy and that she is her mother, the four of them together really are a chosen family. You know, you could consider Dorothy and Sophia to sort of come as a package, but you know, you definitely see really sweet moments where Sophia is a mentor, you know, to the women who aren't her daughters, where she does sort of act like a motherly figure to all of them. So yeah, even though I think the two of them are kind of packaged together as mother and daughter, the sort of the way that the show treats them, their dynamic between Sophia and Blanche and Sophia and Rose is very friendship-like. You know, it's obviously different with her and Dorothy, but yeah.
It's also like, I mean, you look at the last episode and that horrible decision that Sophia had to make of whether she's going to move with Dorothy and her new husband to Georgia, or is she going to stay with Blanche and Rose? And in a lot of ways, like over the course of the show, you saw that, sure, Dorothy and Sophia are a mother-daughter, but they really are friends. Like, they're equals in a lot of ways. And it sort of shows you that as we get older, I mean, I have that with my mother right now because I'm, like, the only queer child she has. I know I'm the favorite. And it's like, she's my friend. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even – we have the relationship where we're more friend-based than mother-son. It's not – it's strange. And I think Dorothy and Sophia – exemplified that, but then in the last episode with Sophia deciding to stay with Rose and Blanche, it showed that she's more than just a mother figure. She's that's her family now. That's her friend. That's her home base. That's her touchstone. So she stays where she knows that she's needed, but also that she needs, which is, I think, a really interesting sort of double take that they don't really explore too much on the show, but she needs them just as much as they need her.
Because there's a lot of hot takes on that, right? It's like, you know, because we actually did a whole episode, like a whole live show episode with four mother-daughter duos.
Wow.
Yeah. And our moms included. And we like talked about, can your mother be your friend? And so like, I feel like the show kind of like,
what was the hot take?
Hard stance at, well, the hot take is like, you know, some people felt like absolutely not, even though they might have a very close relationship and they talk about a lot of things. It's like, you know, they're like, oh, I am not my child's friend.
Wow.
You know?
Or more so like, you shall not be your child's friend. It was also kind of like a commandment where the principle of it was so honorable. And this is, and I remember the woman that said this, Alicia Reiner. She's like a modern New York actress, you know, liberal and just forward thinker. And she was, and we were like, wow, Alicia. She's like, absolutely not. And then she, her daughter, like, who's, I think, her daughter's 13, you know, and she just kind of popped in and out, and like I didn't get any feeling like she was like, tell them what to say, you know, tell them what you think. And she was like, no, my mother is my mentor and my principal and like the person that I talk to, and I can tell her the truth. And I was like, wow.
Isn't that what you like? That's that exact description is what I think of my friends. You know what I mean? Like I go to my mother for those things, but I also go to my friends for those things. And they're also my mentor, and they're also the person I turn to for advice and all of the things. So it's like, I don't know, part of me, this might be fucked up, but part of me kind of thinks that like, if you are like in your 30s, let's say 30s, 40s, whatever, and like you're with your mother and you still are turning to your mom for like maternal, like everyday needs, you probably should go to therapy. You probably need to have a communication with someone about that, because you're grown and you should treat this woman who did so much work in their life to raise you, to give her the freedom of being a woman and a person and an identity that is not just your mother. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know, treat her like a person. I don't know.
I think that's a very fair way of thinking of it. And I know so many people that would disagree. So many.
Yeah, I know.
That's the hot take of that.
Because your show has been on for so long and you've done so much content, you've pulled so much content from this lovely show that was on for what, 6-7 seasons, right? So what I would love for both of you to do is to talk about how proud of your show you are.
Hey friends, go on and flex.
I have to say, the way the show started was so interesting to us, in that like Carrie and I didn't even know each other. We got introduced by a friend because she was thinking about doing a Golden Girls podcast. And this was sort of like, even in the early days of pod, I remember telling Carrie, she came to my birthday party because our friend introduced us. And I told her, well, I won't do it if there's another Golden Girls podcast. Like, I was like, I don't want that. I don't want to be a copycat. I want to be original. I want to have fun. I want to be comedic. I want all of those things. And there was no other Golden Girls podcast at that time. Now there are many. And so we started it, and it's just sort of, it blossomed into a really lovely thing where we found a nice community of people who, you know, it sort of just became a nice little family. And for me professionally, it also gave me sort of, because I was feeling really sort of disheartened with comedy, stand-up comedy in a lot of ways. It was very masculine. It was very sort of alt-y. There were lots of directions that I didn't really identify to where stand-up comedy was. And I found it hard for me to relate to rooms in a lot of ways. And because of the podcast, and because of a lot of other factors in my life, drag re-entered my life, and I found a way to be able to do comedy and perform live because largely of where the podcast took me in my life. And that's how Sadie Pines was born, and that's now how I perform and travel the country and do the things that I do, and all because of Sadie Pines. And it's a nice little daily reminder every time someone like likes a picture of Sadie Pines or comments on something, that I'm like, oh, well, the Golden Girls family did that, and I'm really proud of that, and it's because of the podcast. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I think my flex for our podcast, sort of to what HL was saying, just about, I'm so proud to now be part of the Golden Girls community, and there really is something so magical about a hardcore Golden Girls fan. And it really is the most like welcoming, compassionate, just fun community that I've ever been a part of. I think that HLN's ever been a part of. And we used to do live shows at the Meltdown Comics in the Nerdist showroom before that place closed down, and we loved it. And it's to be in a room full, you know, because when you record the podcast, you record, you release it, you hopefully you talk to people on social media and stuff, but to actually record it in a room full of hardcore Golden Girls fans who know every reference that you make, like referencing a thing that was said once in a second in an episode. There's the example we always use. There's a really great episode of the Golden Girls where Blanche thinks the word lesbian is Lebanese, and then she realizes it's what a lesbian is, and she's processing it, and we're watching it happen in real time, and she just goes, lesbian, lesbian, lesbian. And every live show we did, we would always do a fun call and response with the audience where we would just walk, you know, at some point in the show, randomly, we'd just go lesbian and they all yell lesbian back. And then we yell it back at them. To be able to do that in a room full of people where you could just feel the love and the joy is wonderful. So I'm just so glad that our podcast and now other Golden Girls podcasts have provided this opportunity for fans to just like come together and just like love the shit out of each other and love the shit out of the show.
I'm H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines.
And I'm Carrie Doherty.
And we are the hosts of Out on the Lanai, a Golden Girls podcast.
And you are listening to What Are Friends For?
There was a specific episode of Golden Girls that we wanted to discuss on today's episode. And it's the Christmas episode. And like, speaking of, you know, another sometimes very stressful topic, right? It's like, you know, going home to see your family. And, you know, a lot of people get stressed out by that. So I guess like my question is like, why this episode to bring onto a specifically friendship podcast?
I think to the like the chosen family of it all, what was really sweet about that episode, and I would love for H. Allen to sort of talk about why the chosen family aspect of the show, I think, is why it resonates with so many people, especially so many people in the LGBTQ community. But for this episode, they explore it through the whole series. But in this episode, they actually kind of have the conversation where all of the women are going home to see their families for Christmas, and they're, you know, thunderstorms, they get to the airport, they're stuck in Miami. So they go to a diner and they sit and they have cheesecake, and they're all kind of bitching about like, well, you know, bummer, this Christmas sucks. And, you know, the man working at the diner is like, oh, your friends, I just assumed you were all family. And they sort of kind of look at each other and they're like, yeah, we are family. And again, even though Sophia and Dorothy are related, I think it was really nice to actually see them kind of spell it out in an actual episode where, you know, it is illustrated through the whole series, but that, you know, the four of them, they know each other like no one else. And they really are more than friends. They truly are family. And then H. Allen, do you sort of, I know we've talked about it on our podcast, like why the chosen family resonates so much.
Yeah, I feel like there are like two questions that we get asked as sort of like Golden Girls VIPs, if you will. One is, which Golden Girl are you? Which, you know, we all have answers for that. But the second question I get asked, I think more often than not, is, why do queer people love the Golden Girls so much? Like, it's the question that I think I regularly get asked from straight people, because I don't think they quite understand the connection there, because it's not as obvious as like Sex and the City or like, or, you know, any of the other shows that are very over the top queer. And I think the reason is because it is about chosen family. You know, queer people come from a place of sometimes needing to look outwardly for mentors and outwardly for like exposure and direction and sort of what we're supposed to be doing and how we can live our lives. And in a lot of ways, the Golden Girls sort of exemplify in a beautiful way that idea of like, society might say something about you. In the case of these women, it's that they're too old and they're not married and they shouldn't be having sex and they shouldn't be having a life and shouldn't be, they should just be grandmas. That's just what they should be. And they challenge that and say, well, no, sorry, to go back to earlier, fuck you. This is fucked up. That's fucked up. That should not be how you should treat us. I'm still a sexual person. I'm still a person in this world that wants to live my life. And I think queer people see that because the world, I think, tells us often, you know, you're fucked up. And it's, and even though, and you look back in history of like, why do queer people love Funny Girl? Why do queer people love, you know, Beyonce? Why do queer people love like all of these women that, Beyonce, I think, might be an exception to that, but they're not necessarily conventionally beautiful. They're not conventionally what we look to as the beauty standard. And I think even Beyonce fits into that, too, because it hasn't always been that we, like, you know, love the thick girl who can dance. And, like, there's like, the parts of even Beyonce's history that she wasn't always the standard of beauty. She became the standard of beauty by being Beyonce, and then she set the standard of beauty. But I think you look at queer people's response to people like that, and we see power in them. So we try to live our lives and we manifest ourselves in those, and we create these little families, these people who are like-minded like us, to then go into the world and to be those things that we see these other fabulous women doing. And I think the Golden Girls is that for a lot of us. It's that sort of like idea of like, well, a family isn't just who you come from. A family is who you choose to spend your time with and you choose to confide all your secrets in and who you choose to really be there in those moments, like you were saying earlier, of like just saying, how are you feeling, and not feeling guilty if you don't respond because you know that person will always be there. That's family. Like that's the people you put in your lives. So Golden Girls really is that. And you know, Dorothy probably would never respond to a text message.
I do also love, for me, with Golden Girls, how it's marketed genuinely to embrace the older person in you, because there's so much stay young, be young. Oh, I want to, you know what I mean? And so for this, it's like you get to embrace like a resting spot for your heart and for a more established, because I loved it when I turned 30. I was like, goodbye, peace out, 20s. Like, I'm just so glad that that's over, but I couldn't do that. I had no freedom to feel myself that didn't go to clubs, that didn't do the young, you know,
because 30 is still young to people now.
And 30 is, yes, and 30 is still young, but like there is a sense of like, no judgment with the Golden Girls, that they are still going out. They're still doing parties and all that. And then they're at a certain age where it's never, that isn't done. Mm-hmm. You're right. Grandma, knit a sweater, stay home and go to bed early. And so that's what I appreciate about the Golden Girls for sure.
Yeah. And if you want to do that, do it. That's awesome. Stay home and knit a sweater. Like, that's amazing. From like a queer perspective, I think those older friendships that we have are sort of that touchstone to like a nostalgic place in us, to the person we were. And it's like, I think for queer people, we go through so many iterations of who we are because we have to, you know what I mean? Like in high school, I had to play one part, but then in college, I had to play another part because I was kind of coming out. And then in my late 20s, early 30s, I had to play another part because I was in entertainment and I had to like be sort of really gay on one side because people wanted that, but then also maybe not so gay in this side because I needed to tone it down to get stand-up shows. Like, you kind of are going through that weird place of like different identities. And I think that's not something that necessarily straight people have to like front and center address all the time, that the person you are is different from the person you were when that friendship started, and that's okay. Just like the friendships that I have from my childhood, who they saw me wearing like pastels and being super crazy over the top gay, and now I only wear black and I am me now and doing drag and stuff. And it's like they've been there for those, all of those identities and all of those journeys, and it's sort of like, okay, well then you're okay with that, you can stick around. But if you can't and you're not, well then okay, I'm still this identity, move on, you know? And it's I think it's really interesting the way, because you're holding on, I think, to that sort of the girls you were when you were in school and the younger selves. And it's like, you're a different person now. You're a mom. I get to buy your baby all these gifts and stuff. Like, that when you're, I think, a parent, you kind of like have to like I even saw Carrie experiencing this a little bit, and it reminded me of sort of my own sort of periods in my life where I had to come out to someone or explain something about myself to someone. And it's like, you kind of have to explain, oh, well, even though I'm a mom, I'm still these things too, and I still like these things, and I'm still this person, but I'm also a mom. And it's almost like you there's some guilt there in like that the mom thing sort of changes your identity in a way. And it's like, but that's okay. Come out as a mom.
All,
like,
all
that's
just
awesome.
Nodding. All three of the moms are like, yes, yes.
Yeah. But I mean, but it is so relatable to queer people, I think, because of that like, and even for the Golden Girls too, them moving in together with you know, at that time in their lives, like they probably had to do a lot of explaining to people, which is a process of having to come out to people that this is where I'm at now and money's tight and I have to live with these three strangers, but they're going to become friends and we're all going to be a family. Like, there are so many processes where I think we as people have to come out, quote unquote. And I think if you identify that, then you can like process it mentally. But I think queer people have had to process that a lot. And I don't think straight people have processed it that much. And I think that you should.
And I think maybe like in the context of Golden Girls, like there's a freedom in that they all found each other and chose each other at this stage in life, where like they feel like maybe that's what's like so romantic about it for them. It's like they're sort of reinventing themselves as well within these relationships, and that's what keeps it fresh, and that's what keeps it like, oh no, like when you find your person, when you find your people, like at that, you know, at a different stage, in a later stage in your life, you're just like, okay, now this is it? The sun is like, you know, for, I think the only thing that is like a clear delineation of like identity changes, like, you know, when we become moms or like when we, you know what I mean? And so like, that is something that I think Gabrielle and I talk about a lot is like, you know, is we have gone through those, both of the, like both of us becoming moms, and how that's changed our relationship, but also strengthened it. Yeah. One of the coming out moments for me, I had to decide that I was going to start correcting people on how they say my name. And we had a great guest on our show early on. His name is Daniel Watts. Highly, highly recommend following this individual because everything he says, every syllable he utters is poetic and meaningful. And, you know, I had to, you know, correct him. And he was just like, no, I want you to, and I'm going to put you on the spot. And he like did it in the episode. And he was like, why is it okay for you to sit in discomfort because you're worried that I'm uncomfortable? So it's like, and that's the other thing. It's like, as we get older, we got to, you know, like the Golden Girls, we got to give less fucks because we're all just uncomfortable. We should all just work through it together.
Being uncomfortable is a good thing sometimes.
To say, as you know, a woman of color too, there's a lot of coming out stages as well and identity changes and whatnot. And so I feel like what you're saying is extremely relatable and people can take what you mean and put it into their own world and get that advice truly.
Lightning one!
Are you a Dorothy, a Blanche, a Rose, or a Sophia?
Well, I will tell you, what I always tell people is that I'm a Rose with a rising Blanche. However, today in the present, because I'm wearing this lovely bodysuit that my boyfriend made for me and manicured nails and everything, I'm feeling very Blanche today.
I'm a straight Sophia.
And which Golden Girls friendship dynamic, like within the group, is your favorite?
Well, this isn't one of the main group, but it's Dorothy and Trudy, who Trudy faked her death in order to get back at Dorothy. That's the level of friendship I want in my life. I want someone who will go to great links to shock me. Yes.
I love Sophia and Rose only because Sophia is always taking advantage of Rose's naivete. She's always convincing her to do schemes with her, like go down to the docks at 5 a.m. to sell bacon, lettuce, and potato sandwiches. Don't ask any questions, Rose. This is what we're doing.
Bacon, lettuce, tomato.
Bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Just say it fast. They won't notice. I think their dynamic is probably my favorite.
And now in one word, or we'll take a hyphenate, what kind of friend are you?
I would say, well, the first word that came to mind was reliable, but I also came to mind DD, designated driver. I'm always the designated driver.
I am the host.
And what would you like to do better as a friend?
I think I would like to get better at staying in touch with friends who are a little bit more long distance, where you got to do those like 1 hour calls to really catch up. Sometimes the idea of having a 1 hour phone call feels a little overwhelming, so I kind of put it off. These are usually friends that are out of state. So I feel like I need to get better about like carving out that time.
Oh, that's hard. I would like to meet in person more. I'm very much social anxiety. If I'm not in drag or if I'm not performing, I don't know what to do in a lot of situations. And so I say no to so many things. That is my weakness, I will say. And so I wish I could show up more in person than I normally do.
And finally, what are friends for?
Friends are for hugs when you really need it, no questions asked.
Friends are for humor.
All right. Well, we'll see you on your pod.
Everyone go check out on the Lanai, the Golden Girls podcast. It is huge. Get into it. Join the family. Thanks for coming on, WAF.
Yes. Listen to you guys' episode. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo Ha Ha. Our co-producer is Anna Daneker.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho, Rose Harwood, and Philip Pisanchin.
Head of production is Emily Albright. Digital content director is Susie Cabello. Our digital production assistant is Daniela Heredia Vega.
Our podcast artwork is created by Arshwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman, and special thanks to Hari Savitala and Sara Khan.
Don't forget to check out the Hoo Ha Ha website to listen to WAF and all things women-led comedy. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
and find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and even Twitter at WAFF Podcast. That's W-A-F-F Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.